only to have hair like Daryl Hall. There you go. 1985, some things are better left unsaid. Hall and Oates, and my brother is driving back from North Carolina. He said, the day you play Hall and Oates in the church, and I have to miss it. He was so upset. But there's a reason why we portray those 80s icons, and there's a reason why we use that song today. Let me ask you something. Have you ever experienced the toil or the trial of being tongue-tied where you are unable or disinclined to speak clearly or freely, as Merriam-Webster defines this troublesome term? I think we've all been there. And perhaps it's not always a bad thing, this whole concept of being tongue-tied. For example, a new bride said to her new husband at the first meal that she cooked as they sat at the table, she says, honey, my mother taught me to cook, and I can cook two things well, lemon pie and beef stew. The husband, biting into the stew, asked, fine, dear, so which one is this? By the way, just to let you know, he probably should have been tongue-tied because he was going to get a tongue lashing. All right, don't do that. Speaking of tongue-tied, God's word gives us ample examples of individuals who recognize their own tongue-slash-talking issues. For example, in Exodus 4, verse 10, Moses pled with God, and he said this. He says, Lord, I'm just not a good speaker. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even after you have spoken to me, my speech is slow and halting. Moses understood the concept of being tongue-tied. And then we look at Isaiah. It's a different circumstance, but a similar problem. Because in Isaiah 6, verse 5, he identified his tongue as something that was quite toxic. As a matter of fact, he said to God, I am a foul-mouthed sinner. Then we move on to Job. Similar circumstance, a little bit of a different story. Job says in Job 40, verse 4, after hearing God speak and God condemn his speech, Job says this. He says, I lay my hand upon my mouth in silence. I have said too much already. Truly, Job would apply the Hall & Oates song, Some Things Are Better Left Unsaid. Perhaps we should long to be tongue-tied. I remember an old saying, although the tongue weighs very little, few people are able to hold it. Stephen Thierman in the Chicago Daily News, this was said many, many years ago, he shared this riveting revelation that came about shortly thereafter the World War II. Here's what he says. He says, during World War II, some Quakers walked boldly into the Berlin Gestapo office of Reinhard Heydrich, Himmler's deputy chief. They implored Heydrich for permission to take persecuted Jews out of Germany. Heydrich listened stonily to the Quakers. Then he asked them to go wait in an adjoining room for his reply. There, the Quakers sat silently, prayerfully, and meditatively. The room where they silently sat was undoubtedly wired. Their request would have been peremptorily refused had they spoken out loud against the cruelties which were being perpetrated against the helpless Jews. Their prayerful silence was broken by the dramatic announcement that came from the Germans, where they said, your request has been granted. The Quakers learned quickly of the thunderous power of silence. The question is, do we, and have we? Can we tie our tongues? Can we actually silence our speech? Theologian Lewis Goldberg claimed that, quote, the wise person uses his tongue wisely, but the evil person or fool misuses his tongue to his own eventual shame, end quote. Has our tongue and our talk shamed us and designated us as someone who either doesn't know and doesn't love Jesus, or perhaps, worse yet, is just a foul-mouthed hypocrite? Solomon said in Proverbs 13:3, he says, self-control means controlling the tongue. A quick retort can ruin everything. Now, that word control is extremely important to our topic today. Regarding that control and our tongues, to control it and to tie it, we must fully be capable of doing it. But the question is, are we, and how do we do it? So many people say, I only wish I could tie my tongue. I only wish I could be steeped in silence, but every time I try, it just comes pouring out. Many of us have tongue problems. Question is, how do we fix it? Who really does the controlling and the actual tongue tying? I'm going to try and answer that question as we take a closer look at this topic of the tongue as we read our sermon text, which comes from James 3, 1 through 12. Now, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do if you brought your Bibles. Hope you did. In your margins, you might already see it because they might have already put it in there. You might see something which says controlling the tongue, watching the tongue. Here's what I want you to do. If it's not in there, write in your margin, controlling the tongue or tongue-tied. Folks, this is your go-to passage when it comes to controlling what we say and how we say it. James chapter 3 is perfect with regards to this. Let's see what it says, starting with verse 1. James 3, dear brothers, don't be eager to tell others their faults, for we all make many mistakes. And when we, teachers of religion, who should know better, do wrong, our punishment will be greater than it would be for others. If anyone can control his tongue, it proves that he has perfect control over himself in every other way. We can make a large horse turn around and go wherever we want by means of a small bit in his mouth. And a tiny rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot wants it to go, even though the winds are strong. So also the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A great forest can be set on fire by one tiny spark, and the tongue is a flame of fire. It's full of wickedness, and it poisons every part of the body. And the tongue is set on fire by hell itself and can turn our whole lives into a blazing flame of destruction and disaster. Men have trained or can train every kind of animal or bird that lives and every kind of reptile and fish, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's always ready to pour out its deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Heavenly Father, and sometimes it breaks out into curses against men who are made like God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Dear brothers, surely this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out first with fresh water and then with bitter water? Can you pick olives from a fig tree or figs from a grapevine? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty pool. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You know, someone once said this. They said, people are like fish. Neither would get into trouble if they just kept their mouth shut. Solomon agreed. Proverbs 21:23, he reiterates that saying. He says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. According to James in our sermon text, our tongues can indeed start trouble. Now, our tongues have started trouble, and I'm guessing that all of us could share examples. As a matter of fact, I am guessing that every single person here has had trouble with either your tongue or someone else's tongue, and you could give examples. As a matter of fact, we have seen broken relationships, broken partnerships, broken friendships. We have seen broken families where individuals become enemies simply because they could not tie their tongue. And they're experiencing the downfall of that issue and that problem still today. Regarding our tongues, how can something so small create problems, trouble, and issues that become so big? James uses two metaphoric references to actually depict the enormity of this equation. In verses 3 and 4, and for you horse folks, I know we have horse folks, I don't know anything about horses, but I trust you do. And when we talk about a horse's bit, I assume that you know exactly what that is, even if I don't. I have been on a ship. I've never seen the rudder of a ship. But I'm guessing if you're a ship person, you know what this is all about. Because in verses 3 and 4, James references a horse's bit and a ship's rudder, two small animate objects that control things 17 times their size. Now, the reason we bring this up is because when we look at a misspoken word, a misquoted reference, something taken out of context, it can start so small and grow into something 17 times its original size. And you should right now be saying, he's right, because it's happened. Somebody took me out of context. There was a bad reference. Somebody said something, didn't mean for it to go bad, but it went bad. The other day I had to call somebody in my job, and I was doing two things. You ever do two things where you're talking to somebody, leaving a message and writing? And I was writing a word. I was writing a word, demand. And all of a sudden, I left the message, and I said something using the word demand. And when I thought about it, I hung up the phone. I thought, oh, that was not the right word. That was a bad word to use. It should have been request, not demand. And I thought about this for 10 minutes thinking, should I call back? What do I do? Folks, this is what happens. One small slip of the tongue can cause great issues and problems. And this happens a lot to all of us. We understand the danger of what happens when we do this. Now, I want to talk about the tongue physically. I know this sounds strange, and a lot of people are like, but we're going to do this. I spend time on WebMD. That doesn't make me a doctor. I just feel like one, right? So if you want to learn how to do the medical field, just go on WebMD. But I was on WebMD. I'm curious. I don't know a lot about my tongue. I know what it does, but I don't know a lot about it. So we're going to talk about it physically because I learned something on WebMD. So here we go. Physically speaking, the tongue is capable of producing and experiencing many symptoms and problems, many of which you might not ever have known about. I know I did not. Let's talk about white tongue. Oh, yeah, it's a thing. White tongue. WebMD tells me about it. White tongue can be caused by leukoplakia. Mm-hmm. How about oral thrush or oral lysenplanus? I sound like a doctor, don't I? Here's the next one. Red tongue or strawberry tongue. I prefer strawberry tongue. That sounds better. Red tongue is linked to scarlet fever, vitamin deficiencies, and Kawasaki syndrome. That's where you taste motorcycles on a daily basis. No, it's not true. Folks, the next one I'm going to warn you about, you may want to close your ears and start humming loudly. You don't want to hear about this one. There is a thing called black hairy tongue. Yes, it is a thing. It is caused by poor dental hygiene. For those of you who brush once, I'm guessing you're going to start brushing twice. It is a thing. All right, and then you got bumpy tongue. You know what bumpy tongue is. We've all been there, right? Bumpy tongue caused by trauma, canker sores, enlarged papillae, or when you eat chili too fast when it's too hot. That's bumpy tongue. All right. While these dangerous tongue conditions are physical, we would be remiss if we did not mention the tongue problems that are not only scriptural, but spiritual and verbal. So these are listed and these are denoted in our Bibles. And if you started to squirm a little with black hairy tongue, we should squirm even more when we talk about the issues that center around this tongue. Because folks, these are the real things. Let's start with backbiting. You've heard people say backbiting before, right? Here's what backbiting is. You find it in Titus 3:2. These are spiteful, spoken words that are said when the other person is absent and not present. That's backbiting. You've experienced it. Maybe you've done it. Here's another one. How about cursing? Folks, if it's found in Exodus 20, verse 7, that means it's commandment number 3. You know it's serious. Cursing. You know, in Matthew 26, 74, we're going to come back to this a little bit later as well. But in Matthew 26, 74, it's interesting because you'll read about the threefold denial of Jesus that Peter gave. Remember that? It's in the courtyard, and they're trying to find out if Peter was actually with Jesus. Twice he denies him. But the third time, do you remember what he did? He cursed. And do you remember what happened? They left him alone because they believed that a man who cursed could not be with Christ. Cursing. How many people are guilty of this tongue problem? Let's move on. How about lying? Ooh. Folks, there's no such thing as a white lie. There is such thing as a white tongue. No such thing as a white lie. Exodus 20, 16, commandment number 9. Thou shalt not lie. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, you know that list? The things that God detests, 7 things, 2 of which are dedicated to the tongue and specifically lying. Let's move on. How about gossip? Always a thing prevalent in the workplace or in the church place, right? Gossip, Proverbs 11, 13, Proverbs 20, 19 talks about this, 1 Timothy 5, 13. Folks, I'm going to give you a line. I hope you never forget it because I've never forgotten it. It is a powerful line not found in Scripture, but we can certainly apply it because it applies daily with regards to us and our Christianity. And that is this. Remember this. Whoever gossips to you will be a gossip of you. Never forget that. Whoever gossips to you will be a gossip of you. Don't ever forget it. Let's move on. Flattery. That doesn't sound so bad, does it? Flattery. Proverbs 28, 23. You know what that is? That's a tongue problem centered on a heart problem. You know what flattery is? That's when people say nice things from their mouth but feel the other or opposite thing in their heart. That's flattery. That's when people are actually trying to make you feel good when they really don't think that you're that good. Flattery. It's dishonest talk. It is talk that's aimed at getting something done or getting something in return. This one's a scary one. How about filthiness? Filthiness. Ephesians 5:4. Actually, Paul talks about this. He denotes this. He says filthiness is dirty stories, foul talk, coarse jokes. It is profanity, and it's always filthy. Filthiness. And then there's this thing called insolence. Insolence. We don't use that word very much. Galatians 5:15 talks about this. This is just disrespect or rudeness. Folks, if we're going to talk about the tongue physically, you're going to go to WebMD. If you want to talk about the tongue spiritually and scripturally, you go to the Bible. You want to know everything there is to know about the tongue with regards to what we shouldn't be saying or doing with it, read it. These are extremely important. And I'm guessing that every single person on this list, every single person can find something on this list because every single person has spent time in this list. We are guilty of using our tongue in a way that is not befitting to our Christianity. So which of these, how many of these have been seen or heard or used or said by us? Now let me ask you something. With regards to our tongue, have we asked God to help us with it? Have we asked him to guide us through this problem? To help us to see that we have an issue and a problem? I'm going to read verses 6 and 10 again real quick from our sermon text. Listen to what James says here. It says, the tongue's a flame of fire. It's full of wickedness. It poisons every part of the body. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. James says, dear brothers, surely this is not right. As John Phillips once said, sin defiles our conversation. He goes on to say, instead of profanity, there ought to be profit in our conversation. Flippant talk is unbecoming for a Christian, end quote. Paul said in Ephesians 4:29, one of my favorite memory verses, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4:29. It's a powerful passage. What kind of talk is coming out of our mouths? Are we benefiting those that are around us? Are we relating with the words we say to Jesus? Benjamin Franklin once said this. He says, I will speak ill of no man, not even in the matter of truth, but rather excuse the faults I hear, and upon proper occasions speak all the good I know of everybody. Can this be done by anybody? Peter says in 1 Peter 3:10, if you want a happy, good life, keep control of your tongue and guard your lips from telling lies. In essence, if we could just, regarding our tongues, if we could just tie it, wrap it, tape it, bind it, our lives and the lives of others would be positively impacted. This is not only about language, it's also about life, and it's also about death. And you think about this, you say, really? Come on. A tongue could really impact our eternal life and ultimately our death? You know, David said in Psalm 64:8, he says, because of their tongue, he, God, will bring them to ruin. Solomon claimed in Proverbs 18:21 that men have died for saying the wrong thing. See, this is confirmed by our Savior. Let me give you a couple passages here. And Jesus doesn't mince words. Jesus says in Matthew 15:18, listen to what he says here. He says, evil words come from an evil heart and defile the man who says them. Let's move on to Matthew. This is chapter 12, starting with verse 33. Listen to what he says. These are powerful words. Jesus says, a tree is identified by its fruit. A tree from a select variety produces good fruit. Poor varieties don't. You brood of snakes, talking to the Pharisees. He says, you brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For a man's heart determines his speech. A good man's speech reveals the rich treasures within him. An evil-hearted man is filled with venom, and his speech reveals it. And I tell you this, that you must give account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. Your words now reflect your faith then. Either you will be justified by them, listen to this, or you will be condemned. Condemned. Now, this seems like more than a language problem. You see, this seems more like a life and death problem. I'd rather be tongue-tied than eternally condemned. How many people have heard of the unpardonable sin? You've heard of it, right? Talk about it all the time. Some people call it the unforgivable sin. It's mentioned in Scripture. Appears in the books of Matthew and Mark, also has another appearance. In fact, when in Mark 3, 28 and 29, that's where we'll find it. 1 John 5, 16, John just kind of adds on to it, talks about it. But blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the unpardonable sin. Let's talk about that. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Here's what happened. The people were identifying Jesus, saying that Jesus was saying things that would come from Satan. They were attributing his power to as it came from Satan. Of course, that was incorrect. It was wrong. And Jesus says, you can speak against the Son of Man, but you never can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Now, the question is, what is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you what it is. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is a heart condition, a tongue condition. It is a belief that there is no belief in God, that there is no reality of God, nor there's no neither reality of Jesus nor reality of the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit says the Holy Spirit's not real. Jesus isn't real. God is not real. You don't believe in them. You don't love them, and thus you don't follow them. It is unforgivable. It is unpardonable, and I will tell you, it will end in that individual going to hell. He just said hell in church. Oh, man, they don't do that anymore. But here's what we know. We know the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit starts in the heart and comes out from the tongue. It is a dangerous condition. And we know that it's a real condition. An old Latin proverb reads like this: the tongue is a wild beast. Once let loose, it is difficult to chain. And folks, what we struggle to chain, we struggle to train. A horse without a bit, a ship without a rudder, and a tongue without a tie are not only out of control, but they need a lot of control. James 3:8 says this: no human being can tame the tongue. Scripture tells us that even the biblical greats have tried and failed. Acts 13:22. I want to read this real quick. This is interesting. If you're in Bible study, if you're in Wednesday night Bible study with us, you know in Wednesday night Bible study, we often take the road of David, right? We always try to take the high road of David because sometimes it's easy to take the low road of David. And so in Bible study, we talk about that often. But in Acts 13:22, David is called a man after God's own heart. Makes us feel good about David. That's the high road that we can take on David. But listen to what David struggles with as we read in Psalm 39:1 what David says. Listen to this, because I think we can identify with this. David says this. He says, I am going to quit complaining. I mean, instantly, we've been there, right? Probably said something like that. I'm not going to complain anymore. I'm not going to say anything negative anymore. But David goes on. He says, I'm going to quit complaining. I'll keep quiet, especially when the ungodly are around me. But I stood there silently, David says. The turmoil within me grew to the bursting point. The more I mused, the hotter the fire inside. Then, at last, I spoke. End quote. That was David, a man after God's own heart. Can't you see, David? I'm not going to say it. God, I really am not going to say it. Uh-oh, I might say it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to yell it, and I'll shout it. We've been there, right? You've said that. You've probably done that. I'm not going to say it, God. I know I can hold it. I'm not going to be able to hold it. Oh, no, here it comes. We understand it. Calvin Coolidge once said this. He says, I have never been cursed by the things I left unsaid. Now, there's a derivative of this, and it's a derivative that I use every single day. I love this. I live by this. I repeat this daily. I have so many Bible verses I memorize, but I also have these little sayings that I memorize. This is one that I have memorized, and I love it. I'm going to give you the derivative of what Calvin Coolidge said. If you want to use it, use it. I have never regretted what I have never said. I have never regretted what I've never said. No wonder David said in Psalm 34, 12, and 13, do you want a long, good life? Then watch your tongue. Folks, we can watch it, but it is quite evident that we need someone greater than us to tie it and bind it and control it. So my question is, have we asked God to do it? Dr. Harold Foos says this. He says, because the tongue must control a great power, our bodies, it needs itself to be controlled. This control must be of greater force than merely the good intentions of man. It needs an outside force, a superior intelligence. It needs the control of the Spirit of God. End quote. So who or what controls us and our tongue? Who controls us? Is it Jesus? Does he control us? Have we given him control over our lives? Have we said, Jesus Christ, I need you to control my tongue. I need you to control my life. You see, folks, when we become Christ-controlled, we are more likely to become tongue-tied. Paul says in Romans 6:12, he says, do not let sin control your puny body any longer. When we look at Romans 8, and I want to read these verses. These are 5 through 9. Listen to what he says here. Paul says, those who let themselves be controlled by their lower natures live only to please themselves. But those who follow after the Holy Spirit find themselves doing those things that please God. He says, following after the Holy Spirit leads to life and peace, but following after the old nature leads to death. Because the old sinful nature within us is against God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their old sinful selves, bent on following their old evil desires, can never please God. Now listen to verse 9. He says, you're not like that. You are controlled by your new nature if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ living in him, he's not a Christian at all. From Jesus Christ's control comes this, folks: a helped and a healed and a hopeful heart, a mended mind, a surrendered and saved soul, and a tied tongue. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Ephesians 4:24, through this Christ-centered control, we become new and different people. Let me ask you something. If someone came up to you, you haven't seen them forever, and let's go back to the days when you weren't a Christian, because I'm guessing that at some point we weren't all Christians, right? The day when we didn't know Christ, didn't follow Christ, didn't love Christ. If they came up to you and they listened to you for hours on end, would they say, you are different? I hear something, I see something new. You're not the person I remember. You talk differently. You speak differently. You act differently. Or would they say, same old person, hasn't changed a bit. You see, folks, when we are controlled by Christ, our tongues change. Our talk changes. The way we act changes. We become new and different people because we learn how to speak and act like Jesus. We sound like Jesus. We begin to look like Jesus. Let me ask you this. Does the Holy Spirit control us? Are we new and different people? You see, holiness invades our heart, and toxic tongues are tied and then retrained to talk with truth and trust and treasure. What once produced backbiting, cursing, lying, gossip, filthiness, insolence, flattery, and profanity will now foment spirit-filled, Galatians 5, 22, 23, spirit-filled fruit. Your words will have these connotations and meanings: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You will be known by how you speak when you produce this kind of fruit. This people will see, and this people will appreciate. You see, self-control can only come from God, who's in control. It's kind of one of the greatest contradictions of all time. When we say self-control, it means God control. He healed our hearts, he saved our souls, he mended our minds, and he tied our tongues. He is in control if you're willing to give God control. And I don't know about you, but my life without God would be out of control. Paul said in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. To talk like Jesus and represent Jesus, we must be tongue-tied, heart-helped, mind mended, and soul saved by Jesus. He's got to be the one in control. Is he? Have you given him control? Have we surrendered our control? Have we confessed our sins? Have we repented of them and given full control of every part of us to Jesus? Folks, a saved heart results in a tame tongue. Jesus said, evil words come from an evil heart. Does he have your heart? And if so, have you given him your tongue? Let me give you an example of this. This week I met a guy, and we were talking. He said, hey, what do you do? I said, I pastor a church out in the country. And I said, public relations director for a group of funeral homes. So what do you do? And he said, it was really neat. He said, I'm in ministry. I said, oh, that's always kind of a neat bond. So we start talking, sharing stories about ministry, and he was talking about his ministry. It's really unique. So the more we talked, and we probably talked for 5 minutes, as it went on, he started to use profanity. And at first I thought I was hearing things. But it kept going, like in casual conversation. I mean, like bleep, 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 bleep. And I'm thinking, what? And it didn't add up. And it didn't make sense. And then I remember 11 and 12, does a spring of water bubble out first with fresh water, then with bitter water? Can you pick olives from a fig tree or figs from a grapevine? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty pool. Folks, we can't be a contradiction as a Christian. Our tongues have got to be tied. Our speech has got to be different. The way we talk has got to reflect Jesus Christ in our life. And I'm standing there thinking, wait a second, what? You do ministry? Where do you do ministry? Because I don't think I want to go. David said in Psalm 141:3, folks, write this one down. You'll like this one. Write it down. We love our psalms. This psalm's powerful. David said this, help me, Lord, to keep my mouth shut, my lips sealed. There you go. Anybody says, what's your favorite psalm? Say, Psalm 141:3. You'll love it. They may take offense to that. Because Peter cursed, I told you I'd come back to this, Mark 14:71. I just want you to hear this because this is so critically important. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. You realize the first 2 times they didn't buy it? So he had to ramp it up. He had to change it up. In Mark 14:71, because Peter cursed, the people finally believed that he was not with Christ. Now think about that for a moment. I don't know him. Right. I don't know him. Right. Well, let me tell you how much I don't know him. Bleep, 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 bleep. And because he cursed, they didn't think he was with Christ. You see, our tongue says a lot about us and our relationship or lack thereof with Jesus. If our tongues are tied by Christ, then they will reflect and represent Jesus Christ and the control that he has over us in our lives. Without his control, we have a tongue problem. It's not physical, unless you have Kawasaki syndrome, and then it is. That's a bad tongue problem, by the way. By the way, you'll never forget black, hairy tongue, will you? This is one you're going to take with you. A year from now, you'll say, I remember that sermon. He talked about black, hairy tongue. Don't want that one. Folks, if we give Jesus Christ control over our lives, here's what happens. He controls our tongue, and he changes our hearts, and he thus changes our lives. But folks, here's what happens. If we choose not to give Jesus Christ control over our lives, our tongues will never be tamed, and our tongues will never be tied. You see, I believe that this is more than a language problem. I believe this is a life problem, and I think that we need to deal head on with this problem. Folks, we cannot be Christians and live in contradiction. And so I close with Psalm 141:3 as a means to help us remember, help me, Lord, to keep my mouth shut and my lips sealed. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer. And as we do, you will notice, and folks, this is not done in malice. It's done to, and we do it every other month where we purge all the lists except our missionaries. We did not forget about those who have cancer. We are not forgetting them. If you want us to add them back on, just let us know. You can write it. You can literally fill out one of our little prayer slips. You can email us. You can text us or call us or email us. Whatever you want to do, you can contact us. But we will get those on there. We don't forget those individuals who are suffering through cancer. In addition, there are other people. My brother and his wife, they're traveling back from North Carolina. They've been on vacation. So they're traveling back today. And so we're going to pray for everybody who's going through those issues and trials and struggles. But then there's just the casual sickness and the things that are affecting all of us. So we're going to pray for those individuals as well. Folks, I will encourage you to do this. If you don't know Jesus, if you say, I thought I knew Jesus, but I'm not sure I know Jesus. I don't talk like someone who knows Jesus. Bow your head and ask Jesus to not only come into your life, but ask Jesus to change your life. Ask him to fill your life with the power and the dwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit. And if you choose to do this, I'm going to talk to you about this because this is a big step in your life. This is what we call a life-changing moment. And we want to be part of that moment. If you want to join us here at the front of the church, you can do that as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts and you know our tongues and you know the damage that they can wreak. Father, I pray today that you will help us to see that we have to change this, but we can't change this. And so, Father, I pray today that you'll change us. I pray that you would help us to be steeped in repentance. I pray that we would understand what that word means, and that we would long to turn away from our sins, that we would long to have no part of these sins. And I pray, Father, that you will not only forgive us of our sins, but teach us to not want to sin these same sins again. Father, I thank you for revealing the truth of your word to us as it applies to the very things that we say. We're guilty, we're condemned. So many of these things that are on that list, we've been guilty of. We've said it, we've done it, we've thought it. Father, I pray today that you will tie our tongues, and I pray today that you would help us to see that there is danger that comes from an uncontrolled, untied, untamed tongue. Father, thank you for giving us the powerful words of your word, and I thank you for teaching us your word. And Father, today I pray that not only that we will have listened to it, but I pray today that you'll help us to apply it. And even more importantly, as your great commandment tells us to do, I pray that you'll help us to go out and make disciples and to be able to teach it. That's the goal, Father. Make us disciples, not just church-going people. Make us disciples. Make us followers and teachers of your word. Father, I ask today that you will humble us and help us to see that we're all sinners. We're all guilty, every one of us. None are better than the other. We all stand condemned before you. But I pray today that we would seek the forgiveness that can only come from you. Convict us through the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray today. We'll never blaspheme. We will never turn our back on him, but we do need him. And I ask for your help today. And Father, as our heads are bowed, and I know that there are people in this congregation today that might just say, I'm guilty. I've said things, I've thought things, done things that are against your will. Father, forgive me. And I pray today that not only will we be forgiven, but that we will be changed. Help us to be changed. Be with our missionaries, I pray today, and our pastors and our lay leaders and every single person that's spreading the gospel message and teaching the truth of your word. And Father, fill them with the Holy Spirit, I pray. Isaiah 55 tells us that your words will not return to you empty. Today we pray that these words will not return to you empty. And I ask today that you'll be with every single person traveling, struggling, dealing with sickness and disease, battling through issues that are bigger than them. Father, I pray that you'll be with them. And for those who have overcome, I thank you and I praise you and help us to never forget that we can only overcome through you. I pray for healing for each and every one of these individuals. I pray for comfort and peace. And I pray, Father, today that we would be willing to give you control. Christianity is not about comfort. Christianity is about the challenge of going out and meeting the needs of others. And I pray today that you would take us out of our comfort zone. And I pray today that you will put us in a place where we can be used the most. Help us to grow, I pray. Thank you for everything that you've given us in this service. And I pray today that now you will motivate us to go and be the servants that you've called us to be. Thank you, Father, for everything. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Let's close with our final song. So folks, you probably know this already, but I got to tell you this. I'm looking at Dan here. So Dan is kind of the engineer back there that we feed him the sermon topic on Saturday. We let him know what the conversation is going to be about. But Dan is the guy back here. It's like DJ Jazzy Jeff. He's finding the songs. And so Dan found this song. Dan, I'm cracking up. Jillian loves this song, by the way. But Dan, you always find the song that just seems to apply to this service. So thank you so much. That was great. I appreciate it. Good job. This is a topic that's sensitive. And again, yesterday I was reaching down. I lifted up and hit my head, got a big bump here on my head. And the things that wanted to come out were the things that were held in. And it was something like, yeah! And it was very ugly, but it never verbalized, but it sounded very bad. And we're all guilty, folks. We're all guilty. We've been there. And so this is the sermon I hope that we can apply, because so often we are judged by what we say, and we got to be careful what we say. And so with that being said, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for helping us, and thank you for teaching us what the truth is, especially as your word word tells us. But I pray today that you'll help us with our spoken words, watch over us, and help us to be careful what we say. Tie our tongues, silence our speech when it needs to be silenced, I pray. And we ask this according to your will. Go with us and keep us safe, we pray today, and help us to go out and to share the word with the world. We ask it according to your will. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.